I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 10. I'm reading in the New King James this morning. It says this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. The great preacher John Wesley once said, he said, if you give me 100 men that fear nothing but God, I'll turn the world upside down. Amen. And if these men and you men out there will become men of God and you will follow God and you will love Him and keep His word, you will help us. We together will turn the world upside down. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about personal influence. I got some good news for you. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and thank you for the life that is in Christ Jesus. To thank you, God, that we are more than conquerors. To thank you, God, that you are on our side, and because you are, nothing or no one can be against us, Lord God. And Father, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus as we set our hearts, our eyes, our love, our passion on you, Father. God, just have your way here this morning. Lord, you have already set a fire in many hearts. I pray that you'd set a fire in the hearts of others. God, set us all aflame for your glory and your honor, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement with that prayer said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't have a lot of time left, but I got a little bit to say to you. We're going to get her done. All right? I want to talk to you about personal influence. That scripture tells us that your life has the ability to influence not only your present life, the moment that you're living in, but it has the influence to influence three or four generations after you. If you don't live for God, you're not just going to mess up your life. You're going to mess up the lives of others three or four generations down the road. But if you will love God, if you will keep His commandments, if you will give Him all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, He said that I will let you influence 1,000 generations after you. You will touch the world as you go through the world and continue to influence the world after you're dead and gone. Somebody say amen. You didn't go to sleep already, did you? Praise the Lord. You know what? I am like you. We are made of the dust of the ground, and we have everyday practical life to deal with day in and day out, and you know, the jobs that we have, the schools that we go to, the situations and circumstances that we deal with. And I know most of the time we wonder if our lives really matter at all. Am I speaking to the right people? Don't you have those times when you feel as though your own personal existence really has no purpose? Sometimes you just feel like, man, why on earth am I even here? Why do I exist? Am I making a difference to anybody, anywhere in life at all? I go through that at times. I know you go through that at times. We've got an enemy of our souls, and the Bible said that he is a condemner of the brethren. He's all the time trying to put us down, make us feel bad, make us feel worthless, make us feel like our lives don't count and we're not really accomplishing much in life. But I got some really good news for you today, because you do matter. In fact, I'm going to say this to you because it's true. All lives matter. All lives. Every life. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. It doesn't matter if you're two months old or you're 110 years old. Everybody's life truly matters. I'm not sure you know how much it matters, though. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says this. He said, therefore I say unto you, don't worry about your life. That's good news, ain't it? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Oh, that's easy for you to say, Pastor Ken. You know, if you knew what was going on in my life. Well, guess what? You don't know what's going on in my life either. It says, he said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The greatest gift that you have ever received and that God has given you, and by the way, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, the greatest gift that He has ever given you is life itself. Life itself. I got a dear friend of mine, she's a realtor, and her mom passed away. It's been about 10 years ago, and you know, it was heartbreaking to her, and she went through it. But she learned something after that, and there was a couple times after that, a couple years down the road, when I was with her on one occasion, and, you know, some other bad things were happening in her life. But she turned around, and this is what she said to me, and I've never forgot it. She said, yeah, things are bad. She said, but nobody's dead. I think about that in life every day. I do, just about every day. Whenever I'm dealing with something and, you know, some problem rises up in my life, the first thing I look at is I think, nobody's dead. For me, that means we can fix this. We'll work through it. We'll be here, you know, when this is done and it's in the past, we'll still be here. Now, unfortunately, our old enemy death still takes people out of our lives. There's no doubt about that. But even for you, that's the very worst that can happen to you as a child of God, is that you would lose this life. God lit a flame in you. He breathed the breath of life into you. Life is a very valuable and precious thing. I wish we understood it more when we were younger. I really do. The older you get, the more you appreciate it, the more you see the value of it, the more people that you lose in your life, the more valuable life itself becomes to you, and every moment becomes. But Jesus said, you have a life inside of you that is your most valuable possession, your soul, that animates you, that makes you alive. That is the greatest possession that you have. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how famous you are, what you've accomplished in life. When you get to the place where you're going to lose that life, you would trade whatever those things are, whatever those accomplishments are, you would trade it all for just a few more moments, just a few more breaths, just a few more days to live. Now, thank God most of you are fairly young, and I hope you live to, you know, to be old and gray, and you know, that you have many, many years ahead of you, but I want you to learn to live every moment like it's your last. Live every day like it's your last, and treasure the gift of life that God has put in you. And realize this is why you don't have to worry. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus said, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You know, when you're worried about how you're going to get through in life, all things being equal, if you're able to work, if you have strength and ability to, you know, do a job and that sort of thing, you need to do all that you can do. But even if you knock on every door and every door closes and your heart and your life is right with God, you don't have to worry and fret. God says, I will provide. And I'm here to tell you 40 years later of walking with Him and getting laid off and the company moving out of town and being through sickness and all kinds of things, I can tell you He will not let you down. He will get you through it all, no matter what it is, if you would just stay faithful to Him. He's a God that cannot lie. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. You're a child of God. You think God doesn't care about you, that God doesn't love you, that He doesn't see every situation and circumstance that you go through? Do you think that He is not there? He is. If He cares so much for the birds of the air, that's what He's saying to you. You've got to get this down in your spirit and in your heart. He loves you more than any other creature or created thing in this universe. He cares about you. He's going to be there for you. Not only that, He said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And even if you've lost them all, He knew every single one of them as they went. And He doesn't love you more if you have more, or love you less if you have less. And He can even see your bald head. He said, do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. We serve a God that He said not one of those little sparrows falls to the ground that He doesn't see it. I had one splatter off my car one time, Sister Debbie. And you know what my thought was? I thought, God just saw that. I didn't do it on purpose. Don't look at me like that. It was self-defense. He flew right into me. There was nothing I could do. But I had that thought. In Isaiah 49, God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she's born? Unfortunately, one of the signs of the last days is God said, mothers won't even have natural affection to take care of their own kids. And God forbid we are in those days. I don't know how people can do what they do to their children. Some of them don't even have enough sense to forsake them. They got to kill them. But that's another story. But you know, God said, they may forget, but he said, I will not forget you. I will never forget you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you right where you are right now. Somebody said one word that God has never said is oops. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing just, you know, he didn't get up to, oh my goodness, how'd that happen? Never said those words. Listen to what else it says. Not only will he not forgive you, he said, I have you engraved on the palms of my hands. You say, how's that possible? He's got big hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. And he says, your name is written there. It's probably in the nail hole somewhere. You know, I've heard they can put the whole Bible on the head of a stick pin. It's possible for humans to do that. I guess God wouldn't have any problem putting all of our names, those that love him, in the palms of his hand. Think about that. Your name engraved on the palms of the hand of Jesus Christ himself. That's how much he loves you. And look what else he says. He said, your walls or your dwelling place is ever before me. I like what the psalmist said in another place. He said, he is the God of Israel. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He didn't drift off. You may be ADHD or something, but God isn't. You know, he doesn't space off when the butterflies come by and get let out somewhere. What I want to share with you, church, what Fred set you up for, what I'm trying to set you up for is this. The power of our lives as Christians reaches not only where we are at right now, where we are, but it reaches across generations. It does. I'm ready for Jesus to come. I got a lot of loved ones that are not, and that would be the only reason that I'd be waiting. It would break my heart to go without them. But I'm telling you, I'm ready for him to come, but I hope he doesn't come for another 1,000 years, because I want to do as much destruction to the kingdom of darkness as I can possibly do as I go through this world. And if I live long enough, I might just do destruction for a couple more generations, maybe 100 generations, maybe 1,000 generations I can have the effect and influence on. But not just me because I'm a pastor, but you because you're a child of God. You because the Spirit of God lives down inside of you. You because this earthen vessel that we live in has the glory of God, the hope of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory lives inside of you. I had an epiphany this week. The devil, sorry you're alive if you're a child of God. For years I have thought, God, I need to do this type of ministry and that type of ministry, and I need to, you know, talk to this person and that person, and I need to do everything I can to try to reach everybody I can and be as effective as I can. You know what God showed me this week? He said, Kenny, as long as you're alive and I live in you, you will be effective everywhere you go, everything you touch, everything you do. The devil is sorry that you exist. You shine like a light that's set on a hill that cannot be hid because you belong to me. Everywhere you go, you make a difference. And he isn't just saying that to me, he's saying it to you. Every single one of you that love God have that light. You have that fire down inside of you. Somebody say praise God, amen. You are a bunch of Pentecostal Spirit-filled people, right? God lives inside of you, and you have that light that is shining out of you. I remember when I first got saved, people would say, you know, now that you're in the light, now that you know Jesus, now that you understand salvation, you need to go out and tell everybody you can and get them saved. And I thought I had to go out, somehow take my light and go out and get that light to shine bright enough that it would affect somebody's life. And you know what God's word says? He said, you're a light that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. See, I thought I had to make the light shine. God said, you just walk in me. You just love me. You just follow my word. You won't be able to hide the light. Everybody will see that light everywhere that you go. And that's true of every child of God. Listen to this. Romans 14:7 said, for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Every single life, your life, my life, affects the whole sea of humanity. Because, see, we're all connected to each other. In fact, the longer I hang around Washington County, and I've been around here a long time, you can almost tell that Adam and Eve were our parents and that we're all related somehow. Everywhere I go now, I find out not only people that know other people that I know, but I find people that are related to other people I know that I didn't even know was related and I didn't even know we were connected. And we're like one big sea of humanity. You ever look on Facebook and say, how does that person know that person? I've known that person my whole life. I didn't know how that person knew that person. How are they connected? I'll tell you how they're connected. We are a big sea of humanity. And the reality is that every one of our lives, like ripples on a pond, touches every other life. It goes out from us to another person, from that person to another person, from that person to another person, that person to another person. And it doesn't stop in our time, in our generation. The Bible said it goes on for generations and generations and generations to come. See, I know you think you're all that in a bag of chips because of all the things that you've experienced and what you've went through and where you are. But I want to tell you something. There have been people who have lived, loved, died three or four generations ago that have had an effect on who and what you are today. Some of them for good and some of them for bad. No man lives unto himself or dies unto himself. We all affect everybody around us, every single person. All our lives matter. Everything we do matters. Our actions and how we live and the effect of our lives on all of humanity. We are all our brother's keeper. So the next time you're thinking about doing anything, you got to ask yourself this question. How's this going to affect everything and everybody else if I do it? See, if we live for God and keep His commandments by obeying and living out His Word, we can affect the whole of humanity just by living our everyday lives in the fruit and power of the Spirit. Now, back when I thought I had to make my light shine, before I realized God had planted His light inside of me, I used to sit on airplanes beside people that I didn't know from Adam and just freak out. I'd freak out all the way from Dallas to D.C. or all the way from the Philippines into D.C. or all the way from D.C. to San Francisco. And because in every one of them, I thought, they're going to heaven or they're going to hell. And somehow between now and the time we land, I got to have a conversation and make sure they know Jesus Christ. That's a lot of pressure, I got to tell you. I did a lot of stupid stuff, too. Do a lot of stupid stuff when you got that kind of pressure on you. But you know what I finally figured out? The Bible said, you know who you have to witness to, who you need to witness to? The ones that ask. That's right. You say, well, when will I know that I can share something with a fellow worker, a student, somebody in my family? When they ask. The Bible said, be ready. It's in the book of Peter. He said, be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within you. See, if you're given an answer, they've asked a question. But here's the deal. If you will live for God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, a lot of people are going to ask. And all you got to do is be ready when they ask. In the meantime, you know what you do? Just shine. Just shine. Just shine. How do you shine? You just keep loving God. Keep doing what He asks you to do. Just live your everyday life loving God, obeying Him, letting His nature grow within you, letting His life flow out of you. And trust me, people will ask. In fact, the more mature you get, because you got to get to a certain level of maturity, just like natural childbirth, there has to be a certain level of maturity in spiritual birth as well. When you get mature enough, more people will ask than you have time to answer. I'm serious. You know how you see Jesus, he's here and he's there and the crowds are pressing on him and they're asking for him and they're trying to touch his garment and they want to know where he's at. And that if you live for God like you're supposed to, that's how people start coming after you to ask you about your Christianity. And they will do it for every one of us. I want to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. I got to get done. I really do. But listen to what it says here. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Your everyday life, lay it before Him as an offering. I don't miss the labor of being the physical labor of being a welder in a factory. I did that for 8 years right before I became a pastor, and I've done every other kind of labor. I've put shingles and hot tar roofs on in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've worked in auto parts. You know, I was an auto mechanic in New Orleans in the summertime. It's 110-degree muggy heat. I don't want to do any of that, but you know what I do miss about the factory of being a welder? All those lost people that I worked around that I had an opportunity to share Christ with. It was like the book of Acts in that place all the time. God was always moving in one of their lives, and somebody was, getting touched by God and going through something and turning people around and bringing people to God. A lot of my time now, and I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to say it. A lot of my time now is just dealing with whiny Christians. It used to be getting lost people saved. Now I just listen to them whine about all kind of nothing. Now, if you got real problems, that's a different thing. But you know the difference between whining and real problems, right? Some of you do. But see, God said, take your everyday life, whatever it is that you do. Some of you are thinking, man, if I was just a missionary in Africa, I would just really do something for God. Or, if God would let me pastor a church. God don't want everybody to be pastors and missionaries. He just wants you to shine wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, just be faithful and represent God there. Americans have superstaritis, I think. Nobody's satisfied with just living the everyday, nominal life. We all think we got to be superstar or something. We want to be American idols. Just be who Jesus wants you to be right where you are. You might need to win your family before you think about winning all the people in Africa. And by that, I don't mean necessarily that you lead every one of them to Christ. Just act like Jesus around them once in a while. Glory to God. Show them that Jesus is inside of your heart and your soul. He said, take your everyday life, place it as an offering before God. The Bible said, whatever you do, whether you eat, you drink, you weld, you work on cars, you teach school, you mow grass, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. See, we think our lives don't matter because we don't realize every second of our lives lived for Christ is an opportunity to influence others for God. Every second. Think about what you're doing. He said, instead, fix your attention on God. You know what I learned to do in those 8 years that I was welding in a factory and I was a welder besides, sweat to death in the summertime and freeze to death in the winter? You know what else I learned to do? I learned to fix my attention on God. I learned to say, God, all I'm doing is welding today. I'm probably going to burn my eyes out. My wife's going to have to take me to the emergency room every once in a while because I got flash burn and I put all the safety equipment on and I still get it and I got burns on top of my feet where them spalls hit everywhere. But God, I'm going to be the best welder I can possibly be for you today. And that guy that's sweating his brains out or freezing to death beside me, I'm going to live like Jesus would live in his presence. And just maybe before the day's over or the week's out, he might ask me a little bit about you. And that's what God's asking us to do, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. Fix your attention on God. It said you'll be changed from the inside out. readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Quickly respond to it. Don't go to heaven with heel marks. Don't drag your feet when God's trying to change you. Don't keep saying, oh, no, God, you know, that's too hard. I'm not going your way. Say, God, I want your will. Your will be done in my life, not my will. Go after him passionately right where you are. Unlike the culture around you, it says, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you, and wants nothing but the best for you. The Bible said if we love him and keep his commandments as we learn them and grow, then all God wants you to do is just shine right where you are. When I was on death's door and went through the surgery back in 2014, one of the nights I was so sick I couldn't hardly breathe. I had a tube hanging out of my side and it was, you know, bag of blood draining out of it. And, you know, and I just felt like I wanted to die. And a nurse come in the middle of the night and she told me, she says, I found out you're a pastor. I said, yeah. She said, can I talk to you? And I thought, well, yeah, okay. And she pulled up a stool. I thought, I'm in trouble. I even said, God, I don't know if I can do this right now. But she talked to me for several hours. She had done some short-term missions trips. And she had really gotten a burden and a heart for, you know, the kids and the people on the mission field. And she talked to me for a couple hours. She was thinking about quitting her job as a nurse to become a missionary. Now, I'd already watched her nurse for 2 days. She was one of the best nurses I had ever seen, unequivocally. And I told her in the middle of it, I said, what about your ministry here? She said, that's not a ministry. I want to do full-time ministry for God. I talked her out of being a missionary. I did. I said, ma'am, I said, God has gifted you. He's equipped you. Right here, right where you are, you can touch lives for Christ. I've been on the mission field. There are lost people on the mission field, and I care about lost people on the mission field. But guess what? There are lost people everywhere. And I shared with her, and I've seen her a couple times since. She's still on the floor down there, and she thanks me every time I talk to her. She said, thank God you talked me out of doing that. See, because sometimes we just miss that what we're already doing is exactly where God wants us to be. He just wants us to shine for him right where we are. One of the greatest heartbreaks I had going on the mission field was before I ever went the first time. I was scared to death to go because I thought when I got over there, I would see how lost the rest of the world is and God would call me to the jungle and I'd have to go. I got over there and he said, you see, they're the same all over the world. They're lost here, but they're lost where you are too. Man is man, flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. There are people lost everywhere, right here, right there. You need to know whether God's calling you or not, but trust me, there are enough lost people right here God can use you to touch. In fact, I'd venture to say, and I want to warn some of you, you spend more time talking, praying about people on the other side of the world that you ain't even seen yet, and you don't care nothing about the people that's around you right here. Wake up! Wake up! Be faithful and do what God wants you to do right here, right where you are. Listen to what Jesus said. I got to get done. You are the light that shines for the world to see. You're like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Remember the song the kids used to sing years ago? I haven't heard it for a long time. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I used to drive a church bus and those little boys sat back there. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's all God really wants you to do. He's put a light down inside of you. Take it to work. Take it to the family get-togethers. Take it everywhere you go and let it shine. But you can only do that if you'll love God. Matthew 5:16 said, even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't do good things to be seen of men. Do good things to be seen of God. And he'll let men see them and they'll draw them to Christ. If you choose to love God and obey God, he'll help you make that light shine through you. You will shine to people's lives that you don't even know that you're shining in. I had a testimony of one of the worship team people here a week or so ago and didn't even know I was going to preach this. And he said, one of our neighbors talked to us. They said, we've not really ever had a chance to talk to them about the Lord, but they came over and they said, you know what? We see that you guys leave every Sunday and go to church. And he started talking to them about God. That's good, Aunt. That's good encouragement for good church attendance. Where's your family think you are this morning? You know, even your family that you don't get to talk to, if you love God like you're supposed to, they're sitting at home watching some stupid thing on television thinking, yep, they're in church. They're in church. It's so easy, church, if you just love God and do His will. 2 Corinthians 4:6, I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence, the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. In conclusion, and I am concluding, I want to read this, Exodus 20. I want to read it in the NIV this time. It says, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. God really wasn't punishing anybody when he spoke this. He was trying to teach some slaves who had been in bondage for 430 years. He was trying to teach them what life is really about. And see, the reason I say God don't have to punish them is because sin has its own punishment. That was the only thing these slaves could understand at the time, and God knew it. And he wanted them to learn to fear him. He said, I'm going to punish them to the third or fourth generation. But in reality, as you read the rest of the Bible, you'll see that's not how it works. God doesn't have to punish you for your sin. Sin is a punishment of its own. He doesn't have to punish three or four generations later, because if you don't live for God, you will sow the seeds that will punish three or four generations behind or after you. That's how valuable your life is. You live for God, you bless yourself, you bless those that are around you, and you bless generations to come. You don't live for God, you add to the sea of humanity, and you will help punish not only yourself, your life, and those around you, but generations of people after you through your influence. I heard a story one time. I spent 2 hours this week trying to look this up. I should have wrote it down years ago because I'm probably not going to get it right, but you'll get the idea. I'm making some of it up, but you'll get the idea. The devil made a deal with a man. He saw a devil standing at the bottom of a hill. He walked up to him. He says, if you will take this little vial of poison, walk up the side of this hill and drop it down in the city reservoir, just one drop, he said, I'll give you $100. The guy looked up over the hill. He looked at the devil. He said, you know, that's poison. You want me to put it in the city reservoir? He said, yeah, I want you to do that. He said, well, I'm not doing that. He said, I'll give you $10,000. He said, that's a big reservoir. You're just going to put one little drop in it. I'll give you $10,000. Just walk up top of that hill, drop it in. The only other thing you got to do is walk back down the hill, come here, get your $10,000, and then when you leave, I want you to go around the edge of the hill to the other side and out. The guy thought about it for a little bit. He looked at the reservoir, looked at the bottom, and he thought, man, that's just a drop. He says, all right, got a deal. He goes up and he drops his drop in the reservoir. He comes back down, Matt, and he gets his $10,000. And he walks around to the other side of the hill, and by the time he gets halfway around, he looks, as far as the eye can see, there's a multitude of people with their little bottle walking away from the other side of the hill. See, that's what we're doing with the influence of our lives. If we're not living for God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, we are adding poison to the whole reservoir of humanity. That's what God's trying to tell us. But God says, if you live for me, out of his throne flows a river pure as crystal for the healing of the nations. And he said, Jesus said, if you'll love me and keep my commandments, my Father and I will come to you. And he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water that will touch other people's lives. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus with everything that you are, in all the light that you have, every way you know how, right where you are. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Can we have the lights down? Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now and thank you for the gift of life that each and every one of us that breathe and our heart is beating in our chest this morning, Lord God, as we sit here. We have been given the most valuable possession to any creature in the universe, Lord God. And Father, you want to live inside of us and live through us. You sent your Son to die for us that we could be forgiven, but you said we would be saved by your life being lived through us. Father, we have lost loved ones around us. It's people we work with, people we meet at the gas station, people we go to school with, people that we live in our houses with. Father, we need to be an influence of light and salt. We need God to be your influence in the world, your hands, your heart, your love extended in this world. Father, help us. Speak to our hearts. Help us to grow. Open our eyes to who and what you are. And Lord, just help us to simply live for you in our everyday lives, Father, in every way that we know how, I pray. God, put that passion, that love, and that desire in every heart, and we have to be hungry to receive it, Lord. You force no man to do that against their own will. Father, I ask that you would move across this congregation right now. There are people sitting before me that need to come and lay it all down at your feet. They've tried to do it their way. They're kicking hard at life and at the world. And God, they need your healing hand this morning. They need your deliverance. Father, I ask that you would meet with us. Pour out your spirit as we have sang and worshiped and cried before you this morning. Change our hearts and our lives. Let us leave this place as lights that are shining for you. And God, if there are people in here today that don't know you, Father, they are still dark and empty and dead inside because the light of your spirit has not yet touched them. They've not been born again of you. Father, help them to come to this altar and lay their lives down this morning. Know that you want them to be a part of your kingdom, that there is a place for them in your house, in your love, Father. No matter how far down the enemy has drugged them, no matter how much hurt and pain and suffering is in their lives, Lord, and has been, God, help them to lay it at the foot of the cross this morning and let you begin to heal their lives and set a fire and a light inside of them, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name.